Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and it, of course, online at sunburymotors.com. All right, Phil Bork in a moment, but first, last night, well, this is what maybe Phil doesn't want to hear, but Jim Jackson with the call, Claude Giroux's game-winning goal.
Giroux, Matheson tied him up, Lindblom gets it back, takes a look around, flips one, hit a defenseman in front, bounces free, they get it in front, they score! Giroux able to get his stick on it, and the Flyers take a 4-3 lead.
Yeah, remember that play by JVR where he forced the faceoff, Jari had to freeze it, and the Flyers go to work off that offensive zone draw, and Obey Kubel makes an outstanding backhand pass right to the tape of Giroux. All he's got to do is redirect it into the net.
Well, Phil, that was a tough one. First of all, welcome back to the show. It is always a pleasure to have you with us, by the way, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And, just when I thought I was maybe getting over that terrible loss by the Penguins, you just made me feel the pain again. So thanks for that.
Yeah, that's what we do here. We're very good at pain on this show. It's what we specialize in. All right, so when Philadelphia, when Alan Vigneault called that timeout, did it feel like in some ways, at least in terms of tone for Philadelphia, that it changed things for them?
That happens a lot when a team is getting throttled, as the Flyers were in the first 4 minutes and down 3-0. It was just an avalanche. And so, I've seen it many, many times, and it's worked many times, where the coach uses his timeout, and it just seems to break up the momentum. I know it's used in basketball a lot, and it's probably underappreciated in hockey. But, you know, the other side of it is when I was watching Vigneault, it was very direct, as you would expect. He's not a guy that, throws a lot of fluff your way. He gets right to the point, which I expected from AV. I know AV. He was my assistant coach when I played in Ottawa. So I know his personality, and it's what I expected from him. But on the other side, you know, I never understood, Steve, why the other team just kind of mills around and nobody's really talking to each other. The Penguins coach Mike Sullivan wasn't really talking to his players. I'm shocked that the other team doesn't use that timeout to gear its guys up for what's to come, because you knew the Flyers were going to come with a big push. Where I felt the game changed quite a bit was the penalty kill of the Flyers. The Penguins had five turnovers. So some inflicted pain, self-inflicted pain, Steve, but also I give the Flyers credit. Their penalty kill ramped it up. They had a couple of great chances shorthanded, but they could have scored right there and make it 3-1. And I felt like the game started. I mean, there's still lots of time left, don't get me wrong. But I felt that was the first moment of, oh boy, Penguins better get their act together here, because the Flyers felt like they dodged the bullet by killing that penalty, and they actually built momentum from killing that penalty.
It's interesting you say that about timeouts, and I'm not going to tell you something you don't know because you lived it. You almost feel sometimes in a series, like a seven-game series, after a game, a team wins, a game loses. The team that loses, okay, they go through adjustments, and and let's face it, everybody's paying attention. Team that wins, they're trying to adjust too, but the play, hey, we just won. We're adjusting? Sometimes you wonder.
No, and that's the great thing about sports, and actually sports psychology, the mind of an athlete, that it can be so powerful. It can do incredible things that break records that we think were never going to be broken. Confidence is a big part of that too, right, Steve? They kind of go hand in hand. the mind of an athlete is different than the mind of anybody else who walks the earth, especially the elite athlete. But it can also go south too, right? It's incredible. That's why we love sports so much, because on any given game, on any particular surface, we could see the greatest thing we ever saw an athlete do. We can also see things go so south so quick.
Yes.
And that unknown, I think, is part of why we love sports.
Exactly right. It is the greatest reality show on TV every time, because you don't know the ending ever. I have to ask you, what was it like after a year to see and hear fans in the stands?
It was awesome. It was great. I mean, first of all, just as an analyst, as a color analyst, a big part of my job, Steve, is to watch away from the puck, and then give you a description of a goal. But you know, a lot of times, you know, you go back step one, step two, step three, step four. A lot of times, and that's how I love to break the game down, why that goal happened. And so to be back in the building, being able to call games in that sense and not off a monitor is incredible. But then you add in the fans, and, I mean, I can only speak to PPG Paints Arena here, where the Penguins historically have had a great home record. They really feast off of the energy in the building. 2,800 doesn't sound like much, Steve, but they were rocking, and they were loud. And because the building was, you know, only 15% full, the people, I think, realized that were in the building that, wow, usually I'm not that loud of the game, but because my voice can be so heard, I'm going to be a little more boisterous than I have in the past. And, you know, whether it's chanting Jari, 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 or just the appreciation of a block shot, a big save, or a big goal, it was cool, man. You never really know what you miss until it's gone, right, Steve? Whether it's in love or in hockey, it was just great to have people back. And I thought the Penguins did a good job of dispersing the 2,800 so it didn't feel so cavernous, that you felt like, okay, I know there's only, you know, 15 people in this section, but the way they're spread out, it doesn't seem like it's a huge gap in the arena.
It's interesting because Jack Ham and I did the Penn State Michigan football game at, quote, the Big House in Ann Arbor Thanksgiving weekend. It was 111,000 empty seats in front of us. So I know how you feel.
Yeah.
I think the most I've had at a basketball game this year is 250. So
wow.
I know how you feel. Yeah, I know how you feel. All right, you mentioned Tristan Jarry. He had been 6-2 in his last eight before last night. So what have you liked about his recent play? And was part of it him last night, or was part of it really just the guys in front of him last night?
You're right. Tristan Jarry is starting to play like the goaltender that won 20 games last year, really bailed out the Penguins when Matt Murray was struggling, and ended up playing in the All-Star game. He's a great young goaltender, as well as Carter Hart. And by the way, they're really good friends. I don't know if you heard, it's not a side bet, but the little side story to Hart and Jarry, that they trained together out in Western Canada, and they have a good buddy who owns a car dealership, and he's got some exotics there and sports cars and the like. And he said, hey, I got this this bright green Lamborghini. When Tristan and Carter get together, when it's head-to-head, whoever wins the most games, you get the Lambo for a week. So that's a little side thing going on. It'll be fun to watch. It's a shame that they didn't play last game, and it doesn't look like they're going to play tomorrow either, and I think they got two games left after that. But with that being said, Tristan just looks like himself again. He's a confident kid, quietly confident. He's a simple kid, and I mean that in a complimentary way, you know, a bit of a farm boy, just, you know, likes pickup trucks and good-looking girl next door type of females. And, you know, he has great instinct. He plays the puck really well. Very athletic goaltender. And he's himself again. But that being said, the turnover that led to the Lachlan goal was a big one in the game. So as well as he plays the puck, every goaltender has those moments where they turn the puck over. So overall, I mean, I give him an A-minus for last night and for the way he's bounced back, because you remember those first two games in Philly, he did not look that good.
No.
And he had lost his way a bit, but he seems to have found his game again, and it's great because his sidekick, Casey DeSmith is a good complimentary backup goaltender. So early on, the Penguins fans were panicking a little bit about their goaltending, but now I think they feel a lot better about it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. Now, without Sidney Crosby in Game 1, obviously there had to be a shuffle of the lines. Kapanen had a really good game. Malkin had a really good game, as a matter of fact. Now with Crosby back, obviously, you know, you settle back into the other direction. How do you feel about the line combinations right now? And after watching the first game the other night, should it be a consideration to shuffle a little bit?
I like the way you worded that question. It's kind of been a hot topic here. And for years, really, it's significant. You've seen the numbers. I don't have them in front of me, but, you know, just trust me on this. Kenny Malkin, without Sidney Crosby, his numbers are off the charts better. As far as just point production, but I don't go just off of point production, because a guy can have two goals and assists in a game, and I'll tell you, he didn't have a good game. I mean, it has to be, you know, 200-foot player and do all the little things to help your team win. If Kenny Malkin does that when Sidney Crosby is out of the lineup, fear might be a part of it, because fear can be a great emotion you use for fuel to do great things. And so I think there is a little bit of that healthy fear of, oh, boy, no Sid, no captain. If I don't play significantly better, we're not going to win the game. And so when Sid comes back in the lineup, I think there's a collective exhale of, oh, he's back. Our captain's back. Our great player's back. He'll do it. And I think that part of that's human nature, and a part of it is just some bad habits. But as far as the lines, you're right. If Kenny Malkin, when he was playing with Brian Rust and with Jake Gensel, he looked great, right? But then you put him back with Kapanen and Jared McCann, and there seemed to be a drop-off, and things didn't work as well. It's a moving target. It really is, Steve. I don't have a great answer for you, obviously, as I'm stumbling through my answer here, but they got to figure it out. When you get Crosby and Malkin in the lineup at the same time, the Penguins have got to play with more of that urgency and desperation and better defensively, because over the years, it hasn't always been the case.
So let's take this from the player point of view. Were there just moments that, for whatever reason, the chemistry was such, and that's such a vague word, but the chemistry was such where your comfort level made you play better, Phil, because you knew that you had such a great feel for the people you were playing out there with?
Oh, there's definitely something to that. Yeah, and you know, a lot of times you'll get asked that question by the media, and you don't know why. There isn't an answer why. It's because, you know, when it comes to chemistry on lines and hockey, sometimes it's obvious, and you come up with an answer, and other times you're just like, I like the guy as a person. I like the way he plays. He compliments me. I compliment him. And it just works. And you almost don't want to talk about it because you don't want it to go away, right? You don't want it to be something that's brought up, because you know it's really good and it's special and it's rare and you just want it to continue. So I don't know why that works. And, you know, just a small example to that, when you put Malkin and Crosby on the ice together, it usually doesn't work. But I don't know why. Even if they don't play in overtime together, it's something that has never worked. And they don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. But, I mean, Sid's been in the league 15 years. And, you know, as far as overtime goals or five-on-five goals, I can probably count on one hand how many times they had memorable goals.
I've used this analogy before, but I'll use it with you, Phil. And that is, when you're doing seven-inning doubleheaders in baseball, you get to the fifth, sixth inning of a nine-inning game, you still feel like you got a bunch of at-bats remaining. You get to the end of the fourth inning and the seven-inning game, you're looking around saying, we got to get going here. This is a 56-game season, Phil. What's the sense of urgency because you don't have the additional 26 games to find yourself the way the St. Louis Blues did a couple of years ago?
No, great question again, Steve. And that's what makes this game on Saturday afternoon in Pittsburgh, Flyers, Penguins, so huge. And here's what else I've noticed, and you know this, but for your listeners, the Penguins were winning a bunch of games early on to keep them with the pack, with the Caps and the Bruins and the Islanders and your Flyers. But they weren't clean wins. They were wins in overtime and shootout. And when you're winning those games against the Bruins and the Flyers and the Islanders and the Capitals, you're really only gaining 1 point because the other team gets to lose a point, right? So that's right. What makes, you know, the clean win against Philly in game one important, and for you guys also to get the full 2 points against the team you're battling for. So I think you might see more urgency in the last 2 or 3 minutes of regulation to get the full 2 points, not only for yourself, but so the other team doesn't get that loser point. And down the stretch here for the Penguins, I'm not going to say that the schedule gets easier, but on paper it does, because they have not played any of the 8 games against the Buffalo Sabres. They have not played the New Jersey Devils yet, and they still have 4 games against the New York Rangers. So, you know, those are teams that are starting. It's pretty clear that 5 teams are starting to separate themselves, the teams I just mentioned, including the Penguins, and then you look at the Rangers, the Devils, and the Sabres, and they're starting to separate themselves on the bad side, on the bottom side. So, you know, it's never an easy 2 points against those teams, especially against the Devils, the way they play against the Penguins. But if they can get through this tough part and they can start winning games in regulation, then maybe the Penguins are one of the top 4 teams. I still think it's going to come down to Penguins, Flyers, Islanders, just battling it out, where maybe it's the last 2 or 3 games where you're just scrambling to get into the playoffs.
Well, I'll always talk to a guy who spent part of his time in Chelmsford. All right, so because I got enough relatives.
Right way.
I've got enough relatives in Billerica and Lexington. Believe me.
Oh, yeah. That's
Phil, thank you so much. Appreciate you very much. It's always great having you on the show.
Yeah, likewise. I enjoyed talking hockey with you, and like always, this is good hockey talk.
It sure is. Thanks, Phil. I love it. Phil Bork, the old 2-9er. Yeah, Chelmsford. You got to say it right. You know, you can't go out there and, you know, be in a staff and go, hey, it's a Chelmsford. So it's Chelmsford.
Yes.
Well, it's just like we kid around about Dalian Johnson. It's spelled Haver. H-I-L-L. It's Haverhill. They have a town up there, L-E-O-M-I-N-S-T-E-R. It looks like Leominster. It's Lemonster. Welcome to New England.
Exactly.
We'll take a break, because it sounds like you need a break. Man, I thought you'd be in a good mood today.
I am, and I'm in a great mood today.
15-0 loss by the Yankees yesterday to the Phillies, I think, kind of set you off a little bit.
Eh, whatever. I'm much more concerned right now about the Flyers and Sixers.
By the way, Kelsey's coming back, huh?
Yes, he is. Not too surprising.
Jason Kelsey. So, he's going to come back for his 11th season, restructured contract. Rework deal contains $9 million in guarantees, can be worth up to $12 million. It offers cap relief. Like right now in the offensive line, he is the absolute anchor. Absolute anchor.
Been that way for the last few seasons.
Well, I'll tell you, if you guys could draft Chase at wide receiver, ooh.
I'd be fine with that, too. He's also on my list for number 6.
Right. Trade Rager, get rid of him. No. Just kidding. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Thing on any of the interviews that we have, check out the Steve Jones Show podcast. I know there are a lot of wrestling fans. I'm sure that maybe they heard part or came in late on the Jeff Byers interview on the Big Ten Wrestling Championships, or with Phil Bork on the Penguins and Flyers. 1 o'clock tomorrow will be the rubber game of this 3-game set. So that is what's... you can go to the podcast to check that out.
Yeah, and actually, in case people haven't noticed yet, we've kind of revamped the website a little bit, the show website. So on the main page, we'll have all of our top interviews and some of your comments and stuff like that. So it's all right there on the main page. Jeff Byers will be there. Phil Bork will be there a little bit later on. So, and all of our pick segments, we know people love the Kings, so... those will be up every week, too, so you can check them out right at the top of the show page.
Well, the King is coming up next.
He is, and we're ready for some more picks.
You guys are trying to make your comeback?
Something like that. I'm just trying to stay above 500. We both are, actually.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day in the pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up tonight. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. You know, you're watching the Yankees play the Phillies. Oh, that didn't go well. You can get plenty of snacks.
It's okay. Rematch Sunday on Eagle 107. We're okay.
You know it's spring training, right?
Yeah, I know. It's fine. It's whatever.
It doesn't count. But you may want to kick back and it's going to be a little chilly. What the heck, you know? Roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies in the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Great time to deal. And the weather's going to be warm next week. Ladies and gentlemen, we now bring in, from his palace to the northeast of us, the king.
Hello, Justin.
He's
remember
off
me?
And rolling. He's off and rolling. He's off and rolling again.
What up? How's it going?
It's going all right.
I was just telling Matt that in 2 weeks we're 100% open, but we have to mask and social distance, so that's a good thing.
Yes, Governor Ned Lamont made that announcement yesterday.
Oh, yeah, he's a piece of work, Governor Ned Lamont. Very phony human being, but whatever. He's worked 18 hours a day on this from the start. So should we open a restaurant? Shouldn't we open a restaurant? He does that 18 hours a day. You listen to these guys and you just like, you want to, he's got 100% control over the state for a year now, you know. Up to that point, his governorship was a total disaster. His own party wouldn't pass anything. So he gets 100% control and he ditches his party and hires his own consultant teams and stuff like that. So to consult on what to open and what to close. So 18 hours a day. So, and his famous line is when he's asked a softball question at a press conference, "Hey, you want to take that, Josh?" Josh is his right-hand man, and Josh answers all the questions.
I mean,
so then him and Cuomo were best buddies. Now they're not best buddies anymore. Well, I don't know, you know.
You'd never heard of him. Yeah.
Yeah. Who? Mario?
Who? What?
Chris?
No. Guy on CNN? All right. On this show. On this show, Matt answers all the questions. All of them.
Most of the time.
Want to take that one, Matt?
I'll respectfully decline.
People call in the show, and I was like, "Yeah, why don't you ask Matt?"
Well, that's the end. I'm getting the sign. It's time to end the press conference. So. Anyway, God. Did you guys hear that story about Bradshaw?
No.
Or did you already know about it?
What's the deal with Bradshaw?
What did he do now?
Back when he had surgery back in 1983.
Oh, boy.
Okay, in Louisiana. And he went, and this is a true story. I got freaking goosebumps when I heard it. True story. He did not want to let anyone know he was going in for elbow surgery. So he went in on an anonymous name.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I heard this.
Yeah, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It's a true story. He called himself Tom Brady, and then the newspaper article, Pittsburgh Steelers Tom Brady has elbow surgery. Tom Brady was 6 years old at the time, so it was just a total coincidence. And then years later, he's interviewing him after a Super Bowl. So, I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, there's been 55 Super Bowls. One in five has been won either by Tom Brady or Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, true.
Between the two of them, they have 11.
Yep.
And, but can you imagine he picked a name out of the air and it was Tom Brady? Not Thomas Brady, Tom Brady.
Well, Michael Vick, when he would check into hotels, used the name Ron Mexico.
Now, I didn't know.
He used to what?
Used the name, when he was checked into hotels, used the name Ron Mexico. Because he didn't want anybody to know he was in the hotel. Yeah, just a made-up name.
Now, was this before or after the whole dog scandal?
Well, this is before.
Okay.
No, this is before. Dave Ritchie uses Kevin Herr. All right, so... it's really...
No good!
Tell me that wasn't Kevin Herr.
No, that's Bucknell's Doug Burt song. Who works with Kevin on football, Bucknell football.
We actually ran a bit early in the show, in the first half hour, where we didn't even talk about doing this. Didn't even talk about it. This is how good Matt is. And the first one was not working with Kevin allowed him to say that he was his hero.
You, sir, are my hero!
Then suddenly we told Doug that he'd have to do football this spring with Kevin.
No good! No good! No good!
We'll come back with our picks in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right. Here we go.
All right. So.
College hoops.
That's right. Final week of the regular season, then championship week next week.
Yep. And by the way, Bucknell opens tomorrow in the Patriot League quarterfinals at Lafayette.
That's right.
And Meek should be back, right?
Yes. Everybody that was in the COVID protocol should be back, which also includes freshman Andre Screen.
That is huge for Nate.
Yes.
Huge.
And the women host Loyola Maryland Sunday at 4 at Soika.
There you go. And you will be there?
I will be there back on the PA for the number one seeded Bison.
Please give Kelly my best.
I will. Absolutely. All right, here we go. Regular season. Let's start with this lowly game on Saturday. Nebraska at Northwestern. The Toilet Bowl. Steve.
Interesting. Both teams have played well down the stretch. You know that?
Yes, they have.
They both have. I mean, Northwestern just beat Maryland the other night 60-55. Nebraska, it's interesting. You lose a key player, and a lot of times you play well right away, and then the next game after that, you then get flushed. Without Teddy Allen, Nebraska won its next game over Minnesota. Then they played Iowa last night and lost by 40. I am going to go with roll the dice here, Northwestern.
All right. King.
I love Nebraska.
All right. There you go.
I don't know why. I did because I've seen him play a couple times, so I still feel bad for him when they lost to Illinois. So.
Yeah.
Just purely out of sadness, Nebraska.
As you guys know, I like Fred Hoiberg, but I really like Chris Collins a lot. I think he's done a lot at Northwestern to his credit, and they're playing their best basketball right now. So,
you know, I'm going to go with the Wildcats as well. I just can't figure out Nebraska, and I'm done wasting time.
That game is in Evanston, right?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes. So I'm going with the Wildcats. Now, some good Big Ten basketball.
Oh.
4 o'clock tomorrow. Number 4, Illini. At number 7, at the Buckeyes. King.
Buckeyes.
Ooh, okay. Steve.
Well, based on recent trends, Ohio State has not played well in about 10 days. We don't know what the deal is with Io. I mean, DeSumo has the broken nose. They may hold off one more game and wait for the tournament. But, boy, did Illinois look great at Michigan the other night. I'm going to go with Illinois.
I'm going to Illini, too. It won't matter. Ohio State proved that they do not match up well with good bigs. Either way, you're going to have to deal with somebody with the Illini. I'll take the Illini by 10.
Oh, man. How far brutal. Behind am I?
Brutal.
Coming in, I didn't give that. Steve's up, is leading now at 14-6. I'm 10-10. King is 8-12.
Awesome. Now I'm 8-14. Okay.
All right. Half decent basketball for the Big Ten. Number 25, Wisconsin. At number 5, Iowa. King.
Iowa.
I got the Hawkeyes well, outright. Steve.
Don't like the way Wisconsin's playing. I like how Iowa's playing. I'll go with Iowa.
Clean sweep.
And Iowa may win by double digits.
Yeah, they're definitely going to. I see 15-20 point win for Iowa. All right, SEC now. Texas A&M at Arkansas, number 12. Steve.
Boy, Musselman's doing a great job at Arkansas. Great job. I'm going to go with Arkansas to win this game. I think they've won 11-12, something like that. They're playing great.
Arkansas has a very good chance to win the SEC and be a dangerous semi-dark horse in the tournament. I love me some Razorbacks in this game. King.
Texas A&M.
All right, there we go.
Their backcourt play.
Buzz Williams, babe.
Hey, I can't catch up if I just take who you guys are taking.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're fine.
No, you know, if these teams are all pretty darn good, so.
Right.
I don't know anything about them, but whatever.
All right, usually this is a marquee matchup, but not really this year. Round 2, Duke, North Carolina. Steve.
Yeah, really, it's a tough one because every time you think North Carolina's starting to play well, they look around and say, nah, we don't really want this, do we? That was a great Roy Williams line. Did you hear the Roy Williams line about when they played Marquette?
Oh, boy. What did he do now? What did he say?
Oh, is he whimpering?
This was really funny. A lot of teams have scheduled at the last second to get a game. For example, Kansas, was it last night? Played Texas El Paso.
Yes, and nearly lost.
Right, nearly lost. So North Carolina went out and out of the blue scheduled a game because they felt like they needed another game to get to the tournament. They scheduled Marquette, and Marquette went down to Chapel Hill and kicked the daylights out of them. And so they asked Roy Williams about, gee, do you regret scheduling Marquette? And he said, looked at the guy, he said, look, if I thought we were going to lose, I wouldn't have scheduled them. He says, if they told me ahead of time that we were going to beat the Lakers, I'd have scheduled them instead.
All right, I'll give him that.
That was a good one. I'm going to go with North Carolina.
King.
I'm going to say Duke wins this game.
I'm sticking with the Tar Heels.
Roy Williams keeps crying, and it really, men crying bugs me. So.
Well, to tell you the truth, Coach K has been right behind him this year, too.
I'm like, God, stop crying.
Coach K has been right behind him, though. Let's face it. Coach K has been right behind him, though, this year.
He's crying, too, though?
Oh, yeah. He's been terrible this year. He's probably the worst I've ever seen him.
These guys, I mean, they've beaten the crap out of everybody for, what, 25 years? And they run into adversity, and they don't know what to do. They're just like, but we're supposed to win. So.
In fact, Coach K was the one that said, let's stop playing because of COVID. Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
I'll still go with Coach K. I'll go Duke.
I'm going Tar Heel. Tar Heel sweep. And then finally, the Who Cares game. USC at UCLA in the Pac-12.
I was surprised they're even still playing. I was like, where is the Pac-10? And then I saw USC, UCLA. I said, all right. Well, why not?
Yeah, I forgot about the Pac-12, Steve.
Yeah, Pac-12, whatever they're called.
Well, I mean, this is an important game for these two teams. It's not like they're bad. I mean, they're second and third right now in the Pac-12. I mean, USC's a 20-game winner. They're 20-6. UCLA's 17-7.
So it's a good game.
Yeah, it's a good game. It's in Westwood at Pauley. I think USC's going to have the best player on the floor in Evan Mobley. Mobley has a chance to be a top five pick in the NBA. Now, he's got some great numbers, but the last four games, he's only averaging 11 a game. But I think, still, they've got the best player. I'm going to go with him. So USC's the pick.
I'm also going with the Trojans. King.
Trojans.
Clean sweep there with the Trojans.
Andy Enfield's done a good job there. He really has.
Well, that's everybody.
Watch out for UConn, guys. They're pretty good.
Yes, they are.
Got the best player back. Big East, tough division.
Well, guess what? And Villanova just lost its best player, Colin Gillespie.
I think UConn swept Marquette this year.
And, well, that means they're better than North Carolina.
I don't picture UConn's coach crying ever. Well, even when he's hurt.
Danny Hurley? Oh, Danny Hurley? No.
Okay, I saw
an absolute 2021 COVID reaction on the sideline in the Illinois-Nebraska game. At the end of regulation, Nebraska has a chance to win. And to be honest with you, they botched it up. Okay. Trey McGowan's has it, and Teddy Allen's in a spot where Teddy Allen shouldn't be. Teddy Allen, I'm gonna set a screen. What are you setting a screen for? You just brought your guy with you. Now there's two guys on McGowan's. McGowan's never got the shot off. Fred was so mad, he ripped off his mask and he threw it on the court. I was like, now that is only you'd see in 2021.
Penalty. foul. Mask on the floor.
It's the only in 2021. That's what you'll see. Somebody going, "What the?" And they'll rip off the mask.
Two shot
and go
personal
there.
Foul. Mask on the floor.
Well, no, the penalty
hopefully
was
next year at this time, boys. We're not talking about this crap.
Well, hopefully,
behind this.
Hopefully,
no,
this
we'll
summer
see.
We're not talking about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. We'll see. People got to be smart. It's still there, so.
Now we got to decide here because, with championship week starting, next week's election Sunday. So I think the following Friday will this next Friday I think we should do regular picks of whatever of the conference championships wherever they are, and then the Friday after we should reveal our brackets.
Absolutely, I love the brackets. I've won a few of those. Won some bucks on that.
And then we'll have to see how we're going to do this after that.
Definitely brackets. We missed it last year.
Yeah.
Awful. So.
Yeah, you're telling me?
Yeah, I know. You had to fly home. Hey, have you been able to travel with the team?
Only not with the team. The last game I did on the road was a basketball game at Virginia Tech on December 8th.
So are you going to Maryland Sunday?
No, we asked to, and we were told that they prefer us not to right now. And the same thing with the Big Ten tournament.
Oh, that's awful.
Well, I talked to Johnny. I talked to Johnny Holiday at Maryland. Same thing with him. He's not going. Paul Keels at Ohio State's not going. Mike Grimm in Minnesota's not going. I think Matt LaPay at Wisconsin's not going.
Oh.
The long list.
Tough year, but we're healthy, right? So that's a good thing.
Well, you know, and I thought that we properly paid tribute to the suit today, I thought.
Isn't that what we do every day?
Poor guy.
I believe back in the day, if you ever watched the movie Casino, they talk about giving Paulie his tribute.
Wouldn't want to get on your guy's bad side.
Oh, with him? Oh, nobody would want to be there. I mean, it's really, it brings with it loneliness and a sense of joy.